Let us pray. Holy, loving God, we give you thanks for this time, for the opportunity to sit and reflect upon your word, to find in it your meaning for each of our lives. Give us hearts that know it's the truth for us, and give us minds that understand it. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. In 1986, in a before dinner speech in Germany, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher used an adaptation of an old Isaiah 11 joke. She said, "I recall the story of the Western visitor to a Soviet zoo who was impressed to find a wolf lying down with the lamb, with a sign above him extolling this example of peaceful coexistence. And this person, this visitor, asked the keeper how this miracle could be achieved in the Soviet Union. 'It's perfectly simple,' he replied, 'if you have a fresh lamb every morning.'" When we listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah, it does seem a pipe dream to think of wolves and lambs, lions and calves lying together in peace and contentment. In fact, while the picture is one of peace and tranquility, it is physically impossible because carnivores would have to change their very natures. So what the prophet of 1st Isaiah is telling us seems rather silly. Or is it? A writer, Jean Cliff, says, "Isaiah is not so naive to think that wild animals will change their nature, but that the prophet speaks instead of the one created animal which can choose to change its nature, the human animal. Can humanity let go of its warring nature and lie down in peace with its neighbors? Isn't that the question of today's passages? And isn't that the peace that we so fervently hope for and yet seem so elusive? Can we change our natures enough to be graceful with one another? Or is Isaiah a pipe dream?" I think for many, it is a pipe dream. Because they would rather hold on to their slights, their animosities, their hurts, than to find ways for peaceful coexistence. The movie that I was going to show, The War, I will be more than willing to let you borrow it. I'm kind of hopeful that maybe at some point in the future we can have a chance where we can show it and people can watch it together. It's a story about a Vietnam War vet who has returned to his poor family, his wife and his two children in the Deep South. Had troubles after he returned from the war. This is all you hear about this that happened before the movie, so to speak. And he checks himself into an institution where he worked on his post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's a story about his coming to grips with his war experience, but it's also a story about his two children, Stuart and Lydia. Lydia was the oldest, and Stuart was the youngest. And they're black and white friends, dealing with the six children of the Lipnicki clan, whose dad owns the junkyard, and we get the sense he's probably drunk most of the time. Their mother had died some time before. And so these six children, ranging from probably about 6 years old up to high school age, basically run loose. The story is told from the viewpoint of Lydia. And at one point in the end, she says, "These memoirs about learning, what's worth fighting for? My daddy once said of fighting, we are meant for better things, you and I. And these days, whenever I'm ready to belt someone who's got my dander up, I hear him whisper those words in my ears." You know, the importance of a passage like the one from Isaiah is not so much that it portends a time of peace, but it holds up to us a vision, a template of what we should be striving for, just like for Lydia, her dad's words are a vision for how she should live her life. And in this time of Advent, as we wait for the celebration of Christmas, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, we wait by developing and having this vision of what a life with God with us would be like, should be like. God sent Jesus in love to teach us to love. And Advent asks the question of what we think our world, our own individual lives would be like if Christ were among us. With the presence of Christ available to us by the power of the Spirit. It's not about so much about the second or the third coming of Christ as it is about what we believe it would look like and working for that vision of love in our own lives. Working for that vision of love, loving ourselves out of our faithfulness to God and God's gift of the vision. And the operative word here is working, because it's always a struggle. We always have to work. Because you see, the temptation as human beings is to take shortcuts. We want to keep back a little something for ourselves. The price of peace is to give up our need for whatever that may be. To give up our need for security, for wealth, so that others can experience peace, so that others can have justice, so that others can have equality in their lives. In the movie, the children wanted a tree fort for themselves. And they went and they got stuff out of the Lipnicki junkyard. Yes, by stealing it, but as Lydia puts it, most of that stuff in that junkyard, in one particular pile especially, is stuff from our old house that was torn down. And when little Billy, who's about 6 years old, finds out, they start feeding him dimes every time they go, so that he won't tell his brothers and his sister. The problem was, the Lipnicki children also wanted the tree fort, because after all, it was their stuff. And a war ensues between the two groups of children. A war that destroyed the tree fort. And they recognize what their dad, Stephen, had said, that human beings can't handle war. War handles them. And before long, you forget what you were fighting for. And everything gets destroyed, the good and the bad. But as he's earlier in the movie, as he's explaining his struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder, although he doesn't call it that, Stephen, the dad, tells his son Stu, "I think the only thing that keeps people truly safe and happy is love. I think that's where men get their courage, and that's where countries get their strength. And in the absence of love, Stuart, There is nothing, nothing in this world worth fighting for. And in the end, I know I shouldn't be giving the end of the movie. I'm not going to give you the details, but in the end, Stu and Lydia save little Billy Nixie's life. And he tells them he saw an angel. As he's looking at Stuart, and he says, that angel looked like, just like you, only bigger. Now Stu and Lydia's dad had died earlier in the movie. If you want peace in the world, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, then it's highly likely that you're going to have to give something up. You're going to have to give something in order to love, to make that happen. It may take giving up a grudge and offering forgiveness. It may mean recognizing that you did something wrong and asking for forgiveness. It most certainly means that things cannot go on as they have been in the past. How bad do you want peace? What price are you willing to pay for it? All we have to do is look around this world today and see what happens when people are not willing to pay the price. And we have to ask ourselves, is that what we want for our lives? I will urge you to catch the vision of Isaiah. Love your hurts and slights away and allow yourself to begin to be transformed. When we can do this, then I think we begin to see angels in the midst of the difficult times of our lives. Amen.